This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى speaks about his love in the Quran in a number of places. Inshallah, we're going to try to understand what we need to do and how we're supposed to be able to, inshallah, achieve and acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those people who believe, those people who have iman, they are most intense in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we intense in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how do we achieve this if we're not there? Because for a person to be a true believer, one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here is that they are intensely in love with Allah. To understand love, it will take too long to give a detailed exposition of what love means. But even in our common understanding of love, what do you think it means? When you love something, what do you do for it? When you love somebody, you tell me, what happens to you? What are the few things that happen to you? Give me some ideas. You guys never loved anybody? Come on, man. You give sacrifice, that's one. Number two? You communicate often. You want to speak to them as much as possible. What was another one?
Obey.
Yeah, to a certain degree, yes. Depends, yes. So, sorry?
Closeness.
You want to be as close as possible always. Because when you love someone, then you want to be close to them by body. Right? So, yes, closeness and proximity. So you get an idea that when you love someone, then you want to do these things. So you want to obey them. You want to be close to them. You want to speak to them a lot. You want to be communicating with them as often as possible. So these are all signs that you love somebody. So what about if you claim you love somebody but none of these things happen? You don't really, really want to meet them. You don't even try to meet them. You don't try to communicate with them. Then can you imagine what kind of love that is? So if the people of Iman are supposed to be most intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they value their faith and they understand where it's coming from, they understand that it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is their creator, who is their nourisher, who is the one who gives them everything that they have and everything that they will need, and then they will need him in the hereafter because he's Maliki Yawmiddin, then they should love him. Now let's ask the questions. You're the ones who said that the signs of love is communication, feeling close, obeying. How much do we feel close to Allah? How much are we obeying him in the way to express our love? Do we want to be close to him? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you need to pray 5 times a day, which we know. The way I look at it is that slowly, slowly, you know, when you don't know somebody who's got a lot of qualities and you're ignorant about them, then it's very difficult you to acknowledge and appreciate them. When there's someone who you don't know too much about, it's very difficult for you to appreciate it. That's why companies put information and brochures. They send out brochures to you. They have a website in which they detail. They have frequently asked questions. They tell you about different people's experiences. What are they trying to do? They are trying to tell you the value of their product, how it helps you, how it's beneficial for you, how great it is, what quality it is. That's what they do. On a poster to promote a product, you're going to mention the most salient features of why it should be helpful to you. When they've done that and you've then started reading it, And you start seeing all of these benefits that, okay, if you have a Tesla car, then you don't need to, you know, put petrol inside. It's better for the environment. It doesn't make any noise. It goes 0 to 60. And so I'm just making all of this up, right? But I'm assuming that's what they say, right? I'm assuming that that's what they say. When you start hearing this and you thought, yeah, that's wonderful. I should get a Tesla as well. The only thing that's bothering you then is the price, right? But otherwise, I mean, you'd like to have a Tesla because it's got so many qualities, right? So basically, once you've started understanding something, then you develop a love towards it the more you know about it. So do you think that one of the reasons why our love for Allah has shortcoming is because we don't know enough about Him? We don't know enough about Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to read the Quran because that's where Allah is revealed. That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us who He is. And then after that, He wants us to pray 5 times a day with an understanding of the Quran if possible. That makes you get closer to Allah. Then He wants us that when إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٍ, that when my companions, my servants ask about me, then tell them I'm very close to you. Then He wants us to ask Him when we're in need of something. And then He gives us and we're supposed to acknowledge that. These are all various different means of us getting closer to Allah so that we can start to love Him. When a person begins to love Allah, they start feeling better in their prayer. When they go in salat, no longer will they perform it just because they must do and they fear that they'll be punished or they'll be a bad Muslim if they don't. The reason they pray then is because they love Allah. They want to be with Him. And that's why, remember, one of the 7 people in the shade on the Day of Judgment is the one whose heart is constantly in the place of prayer, because he's always wondering, when's the next time I can go and speak to Allah? It's just like, I have to go to work now. I'll call you after work and you just can't wait. That your work finishes, then you're allowed to take your mobile out and speak to your beloved. I'll call you a bit later. I have to go now. Right? You speak until the last second, till you actually go into your office, right? Or until you're going to your classroom, and then say, I'll call you back straight out. As soon as you get out, it's in your mind. It's always there in your mind. That's what you call love of something. And the few people who have that kind of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in the shade on the Day of Judgment. Now, then the other thing we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that in the month of Ramadan, especially when you have the long hours in summer, what makes it easier to fast is if you love Allah. It's a bit more difficult to fast if you don't know why you're fasting, if you're doing it just as an obligation. But if you understand why you must fast and you love Allah, then staying hungry for your beloved becomes easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then chooses a select amount of people to bring to His house. One of the signs of love is you want to be close. You've been speaking on the phone for such a long time. Right, you've been speaking in the prayer for a long time. Now you want to be able to close. So now you can go to the local masajid. But the ultimate experience of this is to go to the haram. Now, do you understand why people go 7 times around the Kaaba? A lot of people ask, why do you do tawaf for? Why 7 times? Why do you go around? What are you doing in that time? The people who really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they understand that that's what it is to go around the house of Allah. This is the closest you will get to something linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Baytullah, the house of Allah, that is a major expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's manifestation, because it's His house. So we're allowed to go around there. Then you get a few people who are then allowed to go so close that they get to touch, they get to kiss the black stone. Humans like to kiss things. It shows an expression. So while we don't have shirk, while the stone has no benefit, that's why Umar radiallahu anhu said, I know that the stones have no benefit. But the reason we kiss you is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do this. This is just a human's expression of what they want to do. So the reward you get for kissing the black stone is all of your sins get forgiven. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you remember what he did? He went to the Multazam. There's the door of the Kaaba and the black stone. And between that area next to the door of the Kaaba, next to the black stone, that is called Multazam. That's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. He put his chest there. He put his cheek there. And he cried out. And he cried there and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is considered to be a very worthy deed. But again, you can show that that is an expression of love. When a person goes there, they break down. They fall down in emotion. And they start crying. And that's why they don't want to let go. And all the people who are standing behind are saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And it's a very emotional moment, that is. But these are all expressions of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to be able to develop that and get to that level, then we need to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Now let us understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's just to give you an understanding of generally what we mean by loving someone and how we can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. How do we then develop the love of Allah? In the short time that we have, I'm going to go through quickly what the Quran says. Let's just speak from the Quran today and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in a hadith al-Qudsi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates from Allah directly. Allah said, "Man taqarraba ilayya shibran, taqarrabtu ilayhi dhira'an." Whoever comes close to me just by one handspan. Just go a bit close to Allah. You make, what that means is you make an effort. You make a bit of an effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will come closer to him a handspan. So you come close handspan, Allah will come an arm's length. That's what he says. Ba'an, I come an arm's length. I'm willing to give you more, Allah says, than any endeavor you make. But I want an excuse from you. I want you to show me that you're trying something. So I'm out of love for Allah, I pull out my tasbih while I've got a break at work and I do a bit of tasbih. I pick up the Quran and I read a bit on my mobile phone on an app or something like that. I want to show my love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I just remember, look what Allah has given me. Look at this great job that Allah has given me. Look at these great clothing that Allah has given me. Look at the great place that I have, the satisfaction that I have, the great family that I have, whatever it is that you get excited about. And you say, Allah gave me this. Thank you, Allah. And then you want to do some dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what you call coming close to Allah. That's all Allah wants from us. Show me your love, Allah says, and I will show you even greater love. And we wonder why we think we don't love Allah, because we don't make the effort in the beginning. We want Him to love us first. Allah loves us. His love is unconditional. Allah says, even if you're sinful, He still calls us His servants. You know when parents get angry on their children? Imagine there's a mother at home and she's been bothered by her, by the children all day. When the father comes home from work, the mother, what does she generally say to the husband? Your son did this. Your daughter was doing this. Well, isn't it your daughter as well? Isn't it your son as well? Not today. You know, she doesn't even want to call them my son or my daughter. She's complaining. She says, your son, your daughter. So she's kind of disowning them for the moment. Of course, mothers have great love. They eventually, they go and love them again afterwards. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, my servants who have aggressed against themselves, who have transgressed against themselves, my servants who have transgressed against themselves, don't become despondent of Allah's mercy. Allah's there, Allah's waiting for it to give us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us. He just wants an excuse. Let's give Him excuses. So then it says, whoever comes close to me a handspan, I come close to him a cubit. Whoever comes close to me a cubit is an arm's length, then I come to him two arm's lengths. So you give him this much, he gives you that much. وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً. Whoever comes walking to me, I'll come to him running. Allah doesn't run. These are things that are mutashabihat. But Allah is saying, You just give me an excuse and you come a bit closer, I'll do the rest of the work for you. You do the bit, I'll do the rest. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that. Now another hadith, again Sahih hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, it says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. See, in order to even start getting close to Allah, there is one condition. That you can't say that I love you and then each time I'm disobeying your orders. Because remember, obeying is considered to be, according to what we understand, obeying is supposed to be a sign of you loving someone. Now, if I tell you I love you, but I never do what you tell me to do, I never do it. And even if I do it, it's like half-minded, half-baked, it's not with my heart, and you know it. Then you're going to understand that I don't really love you. And this is where a lot of the husband-wife relationships break down. Because they don't express themselves. They don't do what makes the other person happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the basic condition to begin to love Allah and for Him to love you, to prove it, is to at least try to fulfill the obligations and to stay away from the harams. Now, as you know, even your best friend, if they make a mistake and they apologize, and they're your best friend, will you not forgive them? Will you not feel soft-hearted against them? Especially if you are a soft-hearted person to start with. If you're a generous person to start with. If you're a stubborn person, it's a different story. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the most generous. He is the most compassionate. He is the most he is the most haleem. He is the most kareem. And He has all of the attributes that you would love to have in a friend. He has all of those attributes. And He also has all of these attributes that you wouldn't want to see in any enemy either. But we're not talking about that side. Allah is the muntaqim. He is the qahar as well. But He has everything you would love in anyone that you want to be close to. He is so tolerant. So tolerant that He's willing to forgive. People reject Him. They criticize Him. They insult Him. He still gives them food. He still gives them dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for us to get even to basically prove that we love Him, we must try to follow the obligation, must try to make our salat, must try to do what He wants us to do. Of course, if we can't do it and we're always making excuses, like genuine excuses, that inshallah I'll do it, right? Then that is better than saying I'm never going to do it. Look, some people, they can't, for example, you know, you have some sisters, they can't wear hijab right now. Or some brothers, they can't do certain obligations right now. Hajj is wajib on them, Hajj is necessary on them. They've got enough money, but they're not going. Because maybe they can't get time off work or whatever. But they feel bad, I would love to come. I would love to wear hijab, but I just don't have that strength yet. Inshallah, this person tomorrow here will be able to do it. Tomorrow they will be able to do it because you've got a desire. But if you say, look, you know what? I don't need to do this stuff. In my situation, I don't need to do it. So the first obligation is to try as best as you can to fulfill the obligations and to stay away from the haram. And if you make a mistake, do tawbah. Simple as that. Then the hadith says, after that, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. After that, a person comes closer and closer to me, the more nawafil and optional deeds that they do. So you go and you help out somebody, you go and you give some sadaqah, you go and you do some extra nawafil prayer, you keep some nafil fasts, you go and help in a relief organization, you help in a masjid, you help some poor people, you help somebody on the street, with a good intention for Allah, all of these are optional acts. The more you do, the closer you get. And the closer you get, the more Allah starts giving you. That's what you have to remember. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. Now, what is the benefit of Allah loving a person? What do you get? What do we get if Allah begins to love us now? فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. Then Allah says that if I agree to love someone, then I will become the hearing from which through which they hear, the sight by which they see. And it continues, the hand by which they touch, the feet by which they walk. What does that mean? It means, you know, the how tough we find it to make sure that we avoid listening to haram and speaking bad things and doing bad things, looking at bad things. Once Allah begins to love us, then He protects us in all of these things. Because He's saying, I'm going to take over this. The awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, those who've become His lovers and He's become their who He loves, then they are generally protected for the most part. They become protected. Things become easier then. You'll still have challenges, but it'll be easier to deal with it. Your mind will be more confident. You'll have more yaqeen. You'll have more yaqeen and conviction that no, I can deal with this issue. That is the benefit of loving Allah enough that He loves you. And remember from the earlier hadith we know that you just have to love Him a bit, show a bit of your expression of love for Him to love you even more. So it's not that difficult, but we need to make an effort. The way you show sacrifice is, am I willing to give up something else that I love for the love of Allah? That's a sacrifice. It's easy when there's no competition. It's easy when there's no competition to do something. But when there's other things which are challenging you, and then you still say, no, I'm not going to go out with my friends right now because I have to pray. Or I'm going to make sure I pray even though it's difficult and I'm going to miss my football match, my soccer match. Do you see what I'm saying? How do you express your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another thing which is very useful to get to love Allah is the du'as, masnoon du'as. You know, the du'as for eating, the du'as for sleeping, the du'as for using the bathroom, the du'as for riding a car, the du'as for everything. Because they all make us remember Allah. So they get us to start thinking about Allah all the time. You know what? When I go to my wardrobe and I see, mashallah, all my clothing there nice and ironed, right? When I see all my clothing nice and ironed and I take one, I give dua to my wife. Because to have all of those clothes in there nicely ironed that I can go and pick whichever I want, if I don't thank her, I'm being ungrateful. The minimum she needs from me is that I make dua for her. Right? Likewise, for anything somebody does for you, shouldn't you be thanking them? They don't have to even know. The more, one is you go and thank the brother, thank you very much. Or you say to your wife, thank you very much. That's one thing. Makes them happy. But even more powerful than that is to make dua to Allah for them. Because that goes even further. Do you understand? So Allah, who has given us all of these things, why shouldn't we thank Him? Why shouldn't we thank Him? It's the same kind of thing. So that's why when we are eating, we start in the name of Allah. When we finish, we say, Alhamdulillahi ladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. All praises to Allah who gave us to eat, who gave us to drink, and who made us muslimin. So we're thanking Allah. But at least we're thinking of Allah at that time. The thanking is thinking. When you start, you say, Bismillah wa barakatillah, in the name of Allah and with the blessing of Allah. So the whole point is, this is a blessing of Allah. You know, the entire universe, the entire world is a book. The nature around us is an open book. So when you look at the heavens and you look at the skies and you look at the water, you look at the fruits that Allah has created for us, you look at the trees and everything else, all of this is the book of nature, which is essentially the book of Allah. All of these things are the book of Allah. What do I mean by that? I'm feeling thirsty and I've got this water here. Or imagine you've got a nice apple or a nice mango, whatever you like, nice strawberries. One is that when you see that, you feel like you really want to eat it. MashaAllah, we have some nice cake here. Who made this cake, by the way? Anybody here? No? Whoever made it. But it looks really nice. And if I feel that I've got a sugar craving, I'm going to really want to eat this. You know what I should first do when I see that apple? I should think, this is a sign of Allah. This is a sign to Allah, the creator of it. If you look at the fruits, every fruit is designed differently. There's somebody who I think I know who became Muslim because of just pondering over fruits, that no way this could have been created randomly. If you look at all of the different fruits, just amazing. Just look at an orange. You have the outer peel, a nice orange. It actually makes you feel that you want it. It looks so sumptuous and so juicy. It has a citrus color, which is of like orange. You unpack that, you peel that, and then you've got all of the segments of the orange, all of the nice slices already naturally sliced for you, right? And you put it, they're all together. You take one apart, and you have all of this fiber around it, right? You take the one individual segment and you open it, and it's not just some kind of lump of fruit inside, but again, it's very neatly packed smaller segments. Then the water, the liquid in there and the fiber in there, how it's brought together. It's amazing. It's amazing. Look at the watermelon. It's mostly water. That's why you generally get it bigger. Has anybody ever had durian in Malaysia? Amazing. I know some people don't like it, but I was just amazed by the way it looked. It was a spiky outer skin, which is hard. You cut it open and it's quite thick. The skin is like a protective layer. You cut it out and it has these compartments inside where this really soft, creamy fruit is inside with a seed. And that fruit is so creamy that you take out the seed and you eat the fruit and it melts in your mouth. But Allah created it with all of this nice skin around it to protect it. Look at the strawberry. It has small seeds that you can hardly tell, but then you can taste them. Look at the shape of it. Have you seen a fig recently? Have you seen a fig? I was just in Turkey and I bought some figs. You open it and the amazing kind of brain-like structure inside. It's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is all a book of Allah. So when we see, when we're drinking water next, we say, this is a sign of Allah. This is through which He gives life. Then the secondary reason for the fruit that you eat, the second reason is that it's for your nourishment. The first reason is that it's a sign to Allah. So then when I drink this water, then I thank Allah. This tells me who Allah is, and number two, it feeds me. But remember, the next time you look at any fruit, think of Allah first. That's the primary reason. The secondary reason is that it's to feed you and give you pleasure. And if you see that, you'll appreciate it more. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. Those people who believe and who do good deeds, Allah, in fact, not Allah, He doesn't mention Allah, He says Rahman, the most merciful one, will place love for them. Allah loves all of those who do good deeds, who are believers and who do good deeds. You just have to give Him that excuse of doing the good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. This is in Surah Maryam, verse 96. It's there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Allah begins to love somebody, He told us what the sign is when Allah begins to love somebody. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا. When Allah begins to love somebody, this is Sahih Hadith, Sahih Bukhari, etc. That when Allah begins to love somebody, He invites Jibreel, He calls Jibreel. Jibreel, come here. He's the archangel. He says to Jibreel alayhi salam, إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ فُلَانًا. إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ فُلَانًا. I love such and such a person, Brother Ahmed, Brother Muhammad, Sister Aisha, Sister Khadija. There's this Sister Khadija there. I love her. You must love her as well. He tells Jibreel that. You must love her as well. You must love him as well. So Jibreel alayhi salam begins to love them because they follow all orders of Allah. He spreads this among the angels. So all the angels begin to love that person. Now what's the benefit of the angels loving you? The angels are who come down onto the earth to do all of the various different things like bring nourishment, bring protection, bring rain, bring food, and so on and so forth. The love of this person subliminally, however you want to say, it begins to spread among people. And then people begin to love, the majority of people begin to love this person. Because these people are generally going to be more selfless people, who are connected to Allah in a strong way. And you can see this, once you start doing things for Allah, people will... I was speaking to a sheikh recently, and he was just speaking, he was speaking, it was a kind of a very graphic discussion we were having. He said, you know, have you noticed people where if they haven't had a ghusl after being seminally defiled, they have this kind of absence of nur from their face. They may be the whitest people in terms of skin complexion, but there's no nur because they're in an impure state. The people who do tahajjud prayer at night, which is one of the ultimate expressions of loving Allah, to be able to pray at night, stand up, wake up, do wudu when other people are sleeping. Sallu bil layli wan nasu niyam tadkhulul jannata bi salam. The what it says is that these people get the brightest faces. They could be the darkest complexion people, but they will have the brightest, mashallah. You could see the nur emanating from their face. Complexion is one thing. That's a natural thing. Nobody changes that. That's from Allah. But then you get the nur on top of it, which is better than any makeup that you can have. It's better than any makeup, whether that be from Estee Lauder or Clinique or whatever it is. It's, you start doing tahajjud at night and you will see your face shine. Right? So, this is the sign of love for Allah. Love that Allah places among people is that people will begin to love that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Tells us another way, Surah Ali Imran. If you love Allah, then the Prophet ﷺ is saying, Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ to say this, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He will forgive all of your sins. So by following obedience, you have to prove it. If you have claims that you love God, if you have claims that you love God, but you don't do anything, then nothing comes about it. Some of the ulama were asked, where does it say in the Quran that Allah will not punish His beloved people? Do you think Allah will punish His beloved? What do you think? If you've got somebody that you really love, would you punish them? Or would you try to make any excuse to forgive them? You know, if you love somebody and they've made a mistake, what would you desire from that person? You would want to give them every excuse that if they just show a bit of remorse, if they just show that, okay, you know, I'm really sorry, you're willing to forgive them. But an enemy, if they do something wrong, or somebody you don't love and they do something wrong, then you need a bigger excuse for them, for you to forgive them. But for somebody you love, you're just waiting for that just moment. That's why when husband and wives that do love each other and then they have a problem, each side is waiting for the other side just to give an expression. You're just looking for an excuse. So one of the scholars was asked that, where will you prove that Allah won't punish His people who He loves? So then the scholar, he recited, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. The Yahud and Nasara, they say that we are the children of Allah and His beloved. So Allah says then, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Why will Allah punish you then? Why will Allah punish you for your sins if He loves you? So this proves, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِمَّنْ خَلَقٌ. You're just another group of people, just like everybody else Allah has created. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He will forgive and He will punish whoever He wills. But this proves that just claiming love for Allah is not enough. Finally, there are some very specific du'as. The final du'as I will make, these are the du'as that have come, many of them in the sunnah, how we can develop love for Allah. One of my favorite du'as is اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك. But these are a few du'as. I'm going to see them. You just say Ameen. اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربني إلى حبك. Oh Allah, I ask You for Your love and the love of those who loves You. So give me the love of those people who love You. Don't give me love of those people who don't love You. What are you asking for here? You're asking for good company. You're asking for a good spouse. You're asking for good surrounding people, right? So grant me Your love and the love of those who love You and the love of those actions which make me closer to You. Wallah, wonderful. Give me the love of those actions. So make me love those things which bring me closer to You and not love those things which take me further away from You. Because that's our biggest challenge in this world. That's one dua. Another dua. Allahumma ma razaqtani mimma uhibbu فَجَعَلْهُ قُوَّةً لِي فِي مَا تُحِبُّ وَمَا زَوَيْتَ عَنِّي مِمَّا أُحِبُّ فَجَعَلْهُ فَرَاغًا لِي فِي مَا تُحِبُّ. Oh Allah, everything that You have given me, among those things which I love, You've given me a nice house, You've given me a spouse, You've given me nice business, nice work, whatever. Everything that I love, right? Oh Allah, that which You have given me from what I love, make it a source of strength for me to do those things that You love. So whatever You've given me, make that a strong resource to be used for those things which You love. And those things You've kept away from me, among those things that I love, then make those things a source of emptiness in those things that You love. So make me satisfied in what I don't have, and give me satisfaction in those things that I do love. It's a very comprehensive dua. If that gets accepted, your life is sorted. Right? Another one is, Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min ahli wa mali wa min al-ma'il barid ala al-dhama. Oh Allah, make Your love more beloved to me than the love of my family, my wealth, and from cold water when you're thirsty. Make Your love more beloved to me than all of those things. Because that love of water right now is a good thing. But love of Allah will help you in the hereafter as well. It will help to get our mind right in what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. Our desires will be kept under control. Another dua. Allahumma habibni ila malaikatika wa anbiya'ika wa rusulika wa ibadika salihin. Oh Allah, make me beloved towards your angels, towards your prophets, towards your messengers, and towards your righteous servants. So when righteous people begin to love you, then you know one of the greatest benefits of that is what? What do you think? If righteous people love you, what do you think you'll get out of that? They will make dua for you in this world. What else? Intercession. They'll give you intercession. Ibn al-Jawzi used to say, rahimahullah, that always have good friends, righteous friends. Because you know when you do something in the world and you're all gathering together, and if you've got a righteous friend, they will remember you, say, hey, how come so-and-so didn't come with us? Where is he? Let's call him up. You know, invite them over as well. So inshallah, in the hereafter, if they go into Jannah, they're going to be saying, hey, where's my friend gone? Where's that guy gone that used to always come, you know, such a, you know, where's that person gone? You know, he or she used to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. You know, they were friends. They're going to make intercession for you. So it's always nice to be with the best people because you're saved. You got more options. That's why he's saying, make me beloved to all of these categories of people. Allahumma ja'alni uhibbuka biqalbi kulli. Oh Allah, make me love you with all of my heart. Like genuinely, all my heart. Wa urdika bijahdi kulli. And make me satisfy you with all my efforts. Anything I put effort in, anything I do, anything I'm working towards, make it for your satisfaction. If that happens automatically by Allah helping us, it just makes life easy, doesn't it? It makes life easy. Allahumma ij'al hubbi kullahu lak. Oh Allah, make my love entirely for you. Wa sa'yi kullahu min mardatik, and all my efforts, make them for your satisfaction. Now, if you do this dua every day, and then one day it gets accepted, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So that's it. I kept the lecture actually very, very short because, you know, we had limited amount of time, and I used just mostly Quranic verses to give us an understanding of what Allah wants from us for love. What is the love of Allah? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love. Any other questions, by the way? It's question time. Any other questions? There's no... the question that we've just had is how do you reconcile between the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, then does that mean you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than Allah? I'm just interpreting your question. There's absolutely no contradiction between the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of the Prophet you do because he represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and beauty and the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran in this world. So you may, it may just seem like you are targeting your love at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, but does that mean you don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you actively think, I don't love Allah but I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That would be a really weird situation. But otherwise, the whole point is that you love Allah because you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of Allah. It's just maybe for some people because you know much more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sense of he's a human being and thus you can relate more to him. You know his seerah and so on. So because you know more about the Prophet, that's probably why you think you love Allah, you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more. But otherwise, if you start to learn about Allah more, then you will be able to target both of them with your love. Or you can say include both of them in a very equal form of love. Otherwise, loving those who Allah tell you to love, for example, me loving my children, my parents, my spouse is actually part of the love of Allah. But if you love them for the sake of Allah, then it's like you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And that's why the ulama mention that if you have really experienced the true love of Allah, your love for those he tells you to love will actually increase in a higher form of love. It will no longer be a cheap form of love that is based on selfish desires. When you love somebody, why do you love them? What about when they do something that may upset you, will that love be compromised? When you love somebody purely for the sake of Allah, then there'll be very few things that can actually harm that love, because your love is a very pure love for the sake of Allah. It's not a selfish love anymore. So what I would suggest, though, if you really want to understand the concept of love, one of the best books that have been written on that from an Islamic perspective is an entire PhD that was done by His Majesty Prince Ghazi of Jordan. It's been published by the Islamic Tech Society, and you can probably find the book online as well on some Al Bayt Foundation maybe website or something. But it's a whole PhD on just what love is all about. It goes really deep. If Allah loves us, why doesn't He reply to our du'as? You see, what you have to understand is that if I love my children, let's imagine that I take something back from nowhere, I take it back home, and it's this really, really beautiful poster or delicate, very delicate. And I take it back home. I love my child. He wants to play with it. Are you going to give it to him to play with? You've just spent 10,000 kroners or 100,000 kroners on it, right? It cost several hundred pounds. Are you going to say, here you go, you play it, because you know it's not appropriate. Now, if my older son, who's 19 years old, he says, can I have a look at it, please? I'll say, here you go. But if your young two-year-old wants to play with it because it's all sparkling and everything, are you going to give it to them? No. So we have to really get it into our mind that du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not our servant or slave, that everything you do or everything you ask for, He must do it straight away. That's, your slave does that. Your servant does that. Your employee is supposed to do that. Even your employee, if you tell them to do something crazy, they won't do it. Or something inappropriate. Allah has the whole world to run. And everything is interlinked. Sometimes we may want something which is inappropriate for us right now. So Allah won't give it to us. He knows that if I just graduated and I get this really high paying job, He knows that I'm going to splash the money and waste my life. Right? He doesn't want me to do that. The thing is that every dua you make, you get a reward for it. Every dua you make, you get closer to Allah. But the sign of it is not that He gives you everything you want. You have to remember that. Allah gives this world, there's a hadith which is very clear, Allah gives this world to whom He loves and those whom He doesn't love. But He only gives the akhirah to those He loves. Having material possession or marrying the person who you think is best for you does not mean that that is the best thing for you in the future. Allah knows best. And I've got an entire lecture of that on Zamzam Academy, which you should listen to. There's about one or two lectures on dua that describe this in greater detail. It's just I don't want to take too much time right now because we don't have much time. But that's the crux of it. Just because you ask for something, Allah doesn't have to give it to you. And nowhere does He even promise that He'll give you everything you ask for. The famous, it's well known that there are three ways du'as are accepted. You either get it, now or later. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He thinks it's inappropriate for us to have it right now, in the grand scheme of things of the world, then He will remove another calamity from us or give us something else. And the third option is that if He thinks it's best for us to have it in the hereafter, then He'll give it in the hereafter. He won't give it to us right now. Because remember, we're not the only people that exist in this world. I don't exist in this world and I don't control it the way I want it. And me having something, if it's going to have a bad influence on somebody else, then maybe Allah won't want me to have it because He doesn't want me to be a bad influence. So you have to look at it in a very holistic way. What are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not loving a person? A person that is distant from Allah, there's a number of levels to this. Right? Number one, a person will not have any contentment, will have no satisfaction. They may have a lot of stuff. They may have material means, but they won't have any tranquility. They won't have any feeling of happiness. Generally, that's why if you look at this kitab, for example, it's a very powerful book by Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi. If you look at some of these istighfar, he says, "Oh Allah, I seek Your forgiveness from those sins which has brought darkness in my life, which has brought the absence of satisfaction in my life." So a lot of the time it's because of our sins that we start feeling distant from Allah. We start feeling alone, even though we got friends, we just don't feel good. There's a number of these signs, mostly to do with no satisfaction in the heart. Otherwise, those people who have less sometimes, they still feel very satisfied in the heart if they're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah gives you a lot of strength. And when you don't feel that strength in the heart, then it means that you have distance from Allah. You're missing the main ingredient in your life. If you read, do we have any copies of Ghazali's Bidayatul Hidayah? Imam Ghazali's Bidayatul Hidayah, that's actually very good. Now, if you read it, what it is, the main part of the book, is that it starts off with your day, of how you're supposed to spend a day. Now, I'll tell you from before, from the beginning, if you read that book, take it with a grain of salt. He wants you to be the perfect man, to such a degree that he doesn't want you to, he wants you to just do worship all day, right? Yeah, it's this book. What he wants you to do is, he wants you, it starts, the etiquette of waking from sleep, using the lavatory, ablution, ritual bath, dry ablution, setting out for the masjid, worship, good works, earning a living, protecting your religion, preparing, etiquette of sleep. So it goes through the basics of your whole day. You can learn a lot from it, but if you try to follow it literally, you'd probably have a big problem because it's just too complicated. He wants you to be fully dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you learn a lot from it to understand what are the rights that Allah wants from us. So then we can actually start putting some of those rights inside. So it's actually very beneficial in that sense. Good point, good question. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, why does He need to test them? There's a hadith that when Allah loves somebody, He will put them under test. Now what you have to understand is that one thing is what Allah knows. His omniscient knowledge. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen even before we were created. He knew what was going to happen, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never does anything based on His taqdeer about us, what He knows about us, because the proof has to be established that we've done good or bad, right? Because nobody is going to go into hellfire feeling that they have been wronged. Nobody. We would have done something with our free will to do that. So what the hadith means is that Allah wants to see from us who do we love more. He wants us to prove it. He wants us to give Him that excuse. So look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was the Khalil of Allah. Look at the test that He put him through. He made him nearly sacrifice his son. He told him to sacrifice his son. He told him to leave his wife. But I don't think He'd ever tell us to do that. That's a very high level of test. That's a very high level of test. For us, we ask Allah for afiyah. We ask Allah for afiyah, which means we ask Allah for well-being. Oh Allah, give us a comfortable love of You. Don't test us. We can't deal with Your test. But I'll tell you something. If you do love Allah at a heavy level, at a very high level, then even if He puts test on you, you will not fail it. So why is He giving you the test? I'll tell you why. The scholars have discussed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you remember his last few days, how much pain he was in? If you've read the last few days, the biography, he had huge amount of pain. He was in fever. Even Fatima radiallahu anha, she was saying, Ya Allah, look at the pain of my father. And he said, don't worry, after this day there will be no pain. People, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise somebody's status. By putting you in pain and allowing you to bear it, the reward of sabr is huge. It's one of the most powerful worships you can do. It's like a fast, expedited process of taking you up higher. So Allah tests you. He wants to show everybody what it is as well. And He wants to see whether you really love Him or not. And if you pass that test, then it's not like you just passed your test, okay, fine. No, then you just get elevation in his sight. So there's many benefits of Allah testing us. Jazakallah khair. If there's no more questions, Jazakallah for listening. But for those questions, I would suggest one talk that you should listen to if you haven't. It's on zamzamacademy.com. It's called Don't Be Depressed. You Don't Know Your Future. This really helps us to understand what Allah has written and what we do and how we're not forced to do what He's written because He is dictating to us, but because whatever He's written is based on His knowledge of what we were going to do with our own free will. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ